All right, OK, it's the Wednesday phone-in, and since we come back last Monday, we've got some kind of format in place, and what we're going for is a political figure on a Wednesday. Last week we had John Gilby on, and we were talking about roads, and John was then in the news, unfortunately, and the man also in the news is Ian Stevens. Ian Stevens is our council leader. He represents the Independents, and he's booked in for today. Now, Ian is notoriously known for being slightly late, so we will just have to pad and feel for the next wee while. He's only going to be with us for about half an hour, and we've got some questions already lined up for him, so hopefully he'll be here in the next few minutes. He's just arrived, which is really good. We'll just get Ian seated and headphones on, and then we'll take it from there. So if you want to give us a call, you can, but give us about 10 minutes, 240666, and you can email as well, studio@vectisradio.com, and have your say on vectisradio@gmail.com as well. Bex is here. Bex is just putting her headphones on. Ian's in the building, and he's now ready to speak to us on Vectis Radio. Good afternoon, Ian. How are you?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, fine. No problem at all. Yeah, busy, and haven't stopped running yet, so we're okay.
I know. You, people say to me, they say it in a fun way, that he's never on time. He's always slightly late. But you were only about a minute late this time, so that's not too bad at all.
You're trying to cram things in, you know. Don't want to disappoint anyone. That's hence the reason why I thought I'd shoot along this lunchtime at short notice. But we're here.
We are indeed. Now, I've got a number of questions. I've got $1 million for you. Question for you as well, mm-hmm. which you probably know what it is, but we'll come to that in a mo. How have the last 12 months been? What are the pluses? Are there any negatives that you're working on?
The negatives are the diminishing budget from central government, which we're trying to balance and move forward with. And last year, as you know, we took forward a 900 plus thousand pound if you like, savings, which we put into the pot for this coming year and into our reserve. So that was fairly good for the first run out. This next, the last few months into this year, where we've put our budget in, we're running just 1.8, I think, or thereabouts, million in deficit. But we will be at this moment in time. There's no panic. What we will be doing is catching that up as the year progresses.
Okay. Can I just confirm, you're only here till 12:30?
Yeah. I thought Louisa was coming in to see you.
Oh, right. No. It was either going to be you or Louisa, but I know you were booked only until 12:30 because you got another engagement.
I have indeed.
Okay. Well, I won't keep you past 12:30 because I don't want to.
No, that's okay.
I don't want to get you into trouble.
But can we come back on the last year or since we've been as the administration? You must remember that at the time when we came in, there were salaries for senior officers, strategic directors. There was a failing children's social care and education, and there was great concerns about our adult social care safeguarding. So we've moved forward on all of that. We're still progressing with education and children's social care, and we've turned adult social care safeguarding round. We've had a peer review on that as well to make sure that we're on the right track and we've got things in place. And we've also, as you well know, had a peer review on the whole council. So we've had a top-to-bottom health check on things, and we're driving forward in the appropriate manner. And there is a paper going to full council tonight which does highlight things within the peer review. So, we are looking at it, and people can see how the council is performing.
Okay, I've got a few questions. Obviously, you know, the last year or so, you've been hampered with the Undercliff Drive.
Yeah.
Obviously, then there's the Totland thing as well, and we were talking about this last week. We're looking at it and thinking, why doesn't this get swallowed up with the PFI? It would mean that, you know, takes the pressure off you guys, and obviously the funds for it is going to, we're going to have to spend some kind of money. So wouldn't it be sensible, beneficial to us to tie it in with the PFI? Can we do that?
We can't now, unfortunately. What we can say is that the PFI, there was about six million, seven million spent on, if you like, the formulating those contracts. And if you remember, we had Jay Jasundra and his team working on that. So we spent a lot of money as the Isle of Wight Council in previous administration moved forward in the appropriate manner to try and encapsulate everything they could. But obviously we've missed out, as you're well aware, street closures for some of the fetes and carnivals, drop curbs, disabled parking spaces and things such as that. So it's not just the landslips and the and if you like the act of God. We are looking at some of the areas that need, you know, that are everyday island life.
So I mean, it is a major hindrance, this Undercliff Drive. It's going to eat into the funds, unfortunately. But and it's sad that we didn't have the foresight to sort of tie in these things in the PFI a couple of years ago when it was all signed over.
Well, as I say, a great deal of money and a great deal of time was spent, and there might well be a rationale as to why it hasn't been included. What I will say, and I'll give the island people some, if you like, support and comfort, is that it's not over yet. We are still looking to attract funding. I'm trying to find through Europe, and if there's anyone out there who has contact with European funders, then come to me. I want Europe to assist us in a way forward. I've been on to the European Islands Commission. As you know, over the past few months, we've rejoined the European Islands Commission, SmileGov, which is about the energy projects on about 50-odd islands, French islands, Scandinavian, and etc. And we've included ourselves in that because we have a good story to tell on energy, if you like, generation and production.
Okay. Assisted area status. I know that was something that you got together very quickly with Andrew Turner last year. You went up to the big house, and how are we going with that?
We're going very well with that. We've, you know, we've got it for the northern side of the island. Unfortunately, when you sing a good song, everyone wants to sing it as well. And Portsmouth City Council and Gosport Borough Council leapt onto it, and they've got it for Gosport and the dockyard. Now, That's not watered down our offering, but what it has done is obviously highlighted that they have similar concessions to what we have, which are payment of rates, holidays, etc., taxes, and also inward investment. So we're in the same boat with Portsmouth City Dockyard and Gosport, but that's not to say that I'm disheartened, because there's only so much that Portsmouth City can take, and Gosport, and we're there waiting. And don't forget, we haven't got the Harbour Commissioner's, the Admiralty, etc., to worry about with Portsmouth Harbour at Cowes and East Cowes. We've got open waterway, and let's face it, that's a very strong bargaining tool with anyone who wants to bring inward investment.
What's your feelings on tonight? There's going to be, outside of County Hall, there's going to be some kind of demonstration all to do with the payments on the floating bridge. My own personal view is there's no such thing as a free ride anymore. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you can say that, Ian. I don't want to charge anyone. We're hitting everyone on this island with car parking. We're doing it with the floating bridge, etc. No one wants to bring in charging where it's not necessary, but what we've got to do is look at the rest of the Isle of Wight paying increases, and indeed the people in Cowes. And don't forget, I use the floating bridge as well from time to time. But so we're all under the cosh. But if we look at it in the round, we're out to consultation at the moment. I'd be very foolish to actually say, yes, we're going to charge, and how much the charge is going to be at the moment. I'm negotiating in other areas to see what we can do to alleviate the charge, or indeed some of the charging. So we're not, you know, I'm still looking, I'm still looking, and the fellow councillors are still looking at ways that we can actually take it down to the bare minimum if we've got to charge, or no charge in, if we actually hit utopia. These things are coming forward all the time. No one suggested to me that I should tie in the floating bridge, the renewal of the floating bridge, with the LEP funding for the Red Funnel port that's going to be rejigged in East Cowes and open up East Cowes and with public realm. No one told me to actually say, why don't you put the floating bridge in with that application? But I did, and it was accepted. So we've already started to move in a positive way, where we thought we were going to have to, if you like, find millions of pounds for a new floating bridge. We've got the start, and I say the start, of funding for that. We've got about 2 million or thereabouts towards a new floating bridge, which we wouldn't have had otherwise.
Somebody mentioned the other day, we did a phone-in on this the other day, and somebody mentioned the fact that maybe we should move away from the floating bridge, and maybe if our previous council had the foresight, they could have tied in with the PFI again with some kind of bridge a little way, you know, down you know, the river a little bit. And that, to me, made perfect sense. So, lack of foresight, and we're now having to pay for it.
Absolutely. I think that what we have to look at is quite possibly trying to... manufacture a fixed link. What I'd like to try and do, and this is a pipe dream at the moment, but it's something I'm exploring, is a fixed link, is a bridge, is a bridging point as it is where it is, and looking at, if you like, a composite bridge. Because if we want to be a composite centre for the UK, then no one really knows what composite is. We make widgets, we make all these things that go on aircraft. GK and do a fantastic job. Gurret manufactured composites. We move composites from the Isle of Wight over to Portsmouth Dockyard. But how about if we had a composite bridge, which we could say was built on the island or built for the island with island composites, and that was there as a showcase? I think that, you know, there are opportunities out of all of this, and we mustn't be down about it. We've got trying times. Yes, we have. We're going to conquer the budget deficit. That's no two ways about that. You know, but we're looked off island. We're looked off in a different light to some people that like to be pessimists. We're looked as an administration that actually is getting to grips with things and moving things forward, and if you like, with a little bit of breadth of vision. So let's not be downbeat about these things. Let's say that we've come a fair way this last year or so, and we're going to move on forward with it.
I've got to be honest, I agree with that. We are a bit negative, and we want to, you know, put the positive word out there. We were talking about roads last week, and some of the roads that have been redone are really fabulous. Obviously, there's a lot that needs to be done, but we moan about the ones that aren't, and we won't shout about the good. And I don't know whether it's an English mentality or an Isle of Wight mentality. What do you think?
Well, I'm a moaning beggar at times, I must say, so it's probably an Isle of Wight mentality, born and bred. But, you know, I'm here to try. My wife always said to me, and this is a little touch of the Stevens family rhetoric, don't quit, put your name forward. If the people elect you, they want you to do something. If they don't, step down. But she said, as far as I'm concerned, I can't put up with you rabbiting on and moaning about things if you're not going to get up and do something. So I'm one of the biggest moaners, I think. But having said that, I'm trying to do the best I can, and we're trying to do the best we can in an open way, a transparent way, and, if you like, trying to unite all sides of the chamber and indeed the community. That's why we signed the Memorandum of Understanding with the Chamber of Commerce, to bring business in to help drive the initiatives forward for this island. Without business, we won't get the employment. Without the employment, we won't move the island forward.
Where do you stand on the housing situation on the Isle of Wight at the moment? We've obviously got a lot of these places that are put forward, 900 houses here, 100 houses there. And we were just sort of made aware this week that there was an appeal. And, you know, somebody came down from Birmingham and oversaw the appeal. And you just think, well, hang on a minute, shouldn't that be in our own hands? And what are the chances? I mean, what can we say to those people that are in Ryde, that are in Arrowton, that, you know, they don't want that. They don't necessarily want any houses. It's that amount of houses. What can we do for them?
We've actually put forward action plans for various areas of the island, and if you look at Bembridge, they've just put one through the council. It actually stipulates what they feel is a number of houses that they can accept, or housing units that they can accept. Our island communities, we've got villages and we've got small towns. We don't want a conurbation that stretches around the coast of the island. What we want is island type development, which actually stays in, in keeping with our island. But we also must realise that we do need housing. Now, whether we need housing for 500 units at one go, I would like to question that. And I think that what we're getting is mainland mentality coming and telling us what we need on our island in certain areas. No one wants 500 houses on their doorstep. And we have to make sure that we've got the infrastructure. Mm. What I would say is we do need development.
It goes against the grain, though, when we know that somebody from Birmingham has come down and overseen this Arrowton situation, and in the past somebody from Durham came down and oversaw another situation, and we're thinking, is there any way that we can take control? Because at the end of the day, what they're coming down and doing is saying, right, OK, you people that are in planning on the Isle of Wight that know the island better than anyone else, you're wrong.
That's exactly...
And it wastes money as well.
Exactly as I see it. Unfortunately, you see, when things go to appeal like that, it costs the Isle of Wight Council, and we've got to pay that. But my big gripe is that, yes, I've got to stand alongside you and say, what the hell are we playing at? You know, why is central government dictating what we should have on our island without getting a feel for what the island needs and what the island can accept? Our infrastructure, we've got to look at the infrastructure. When we're building these houses, we've got to look at the infrastructure, the sewers, the surface water runoff, the school placements, the doctor surgeries, the dentists.
Public transport,
exactly. We have to look at so many different facets of if you like, community life. And if you look at it also, the policing of same, because we need to make sure that what we're getting is something that is manageable.
Okay, ready for the million-dollar question?
Go for it.
Okay, a lot has been said in the press, various websites in the last week or so. I mean, just a bog-standard, straightforward question. Why is Richard Priest gone? Why is he no longer in the cabinet?
Richard Priest has gone because I removed him from the cabinet, and that was after a lot of soul searching. I've got a lot of respect for Richard. Richard's a mate first. He always has been, always will be. Got absolute respect for the guy, but we had a situation that was not tenable.
Okay, can we ask what the situation is, or is that private?
It's not private. It's been in the press that. For a time, there's been certain tensions within our independent grouping. I've kept the lid on it. I've moved to do things in the appropriate manner, because I've got some really good people, absolutely tremendous people that are in our grouping. But we had something that went on and went outside, and unfortunately, it's not so much the media. I can handle the media. That's no problem. But it's the morale of officers that you have to take into consideration. When people work for you, they have to have total confidence in the way that and the way that things are being handled and moved.
I don't want to put you on the spot because that's not what we do. But obviously,
there
still will be people that say, "Well, what was the something that swayed you?"
I think it's been widely reported in the media. A coup, was it, that someone said, and so many people were involved in it? Well, whether it was a coup or whether... I have to look at the morale and the working conditions of our officers and where we're driving this island. Personal, personal relationships have to go second. And as I say, it's with a heavy heart. I'm a very emotional person, Ian, and what I will say is that it came... very, very hard. It was harder for me than it was for Richard. And as I say, I still, with John, who's gone, I still kept John on the executive, and I've still kept them, as I saw it, up until I was told through various medium that I still kept them on the Ireland Independent grouping, because I thought a rap on the knuckles and a sit back might be the easiest way out of this, and then we can come back twice as strong. Because I value those guys, I really do. You know, they're good guys. People don't suddenly end up with two heads overnight.
No, I agree. So I mean, do you see a way back from this? Again, the way we operate is we get a press release and we get the official word. I've read other people's unofficial stories, if you like, and we have decided as a radio station to stand back from that, because it almost sounds like it's gossip and so on and so forth. What are the facts when it comes down to where they sit tonight? People are making a big thing of this. Is it a case of they're sat somewhere else because they've been naughty boys, or are they still considered to be part of the team, part of the group?
Yeah, look, that's a lot of twaddle. Naughty boys. Hold on, we're talking about a £28 million budget gap. That's what we're talking about, and trying to drive forward and get something done for this island. Richard and John are the same guys they were 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago. They're good guys, and they're going to work for their community. They're going to work for the island. Now, wherever they sit in the council chamber is really immaterial. They're going to do what they can for their community, and quite rightly so, the same as I am. Now, if they've chosen to go, I've not said they can't sit with our number. I haven't said where they can sit. That's not within my remit. My remit is to manage the executive. That's what a leader does.
Hmm. Good for you.
What I'll say, can I just mention one more thing? It's not for me to move anyone into a grouping or out of a grouping. And that's down to whatever people decide. Now, I've tried, and I've said again and again to both that the only action I took was the removal, and that's it. So really, I've got much more that I could say, but I won't. I think that I'm doing this with utter respect for those two guys, and for our group that's still striving to get things right for this island.
What would you say to those people that actually print this kind of stuff that is not quite right? It's kind of stirring things up. And the situation, I mean, the way I look at it and the way that you've spoken, and I have spoken to Richard in the last couple of days, is you're still great mates.
Yeah.
And, you know, this situation out there has been made worse by, I'm going to say it, the unprofessional media that is out there, because that's what it is. They've created, or they've not created the problem, they've made a problem far, far worse than it should be.
I think, you know, I can only say that when I look at some of the reports that go on about me, that I've got a 71% increase in my allowance, you know, from zilch to zilch plus, you know, in some papers. And then I also hear that I've had an allowance, so I've drawn some expenses, which I haven't. What happened is that you have your tickets paid on an expense account and what have you. So I haven't actually been reimbursed for anything. It's been paid for me to go to London. When you were right about the assisted area status, I had to get to London by train and back, etc. So you're talking about X amount. Over a year or so, which was, I don't even know what it was, but it was a minuscule amount. And if you'd looked at the previous, my predecessor, and seen what he had, and it was written in small print alongside, it was a considerably more. And all I'm going to say is that if we had professional media coverage at times, it would be a damn sight easier to talk. And I thank you, Ian, and Vectus Radio, because one thing I have had with you, when I've been over the other side of the chamber trying to put forward alternatives, and they have not been opposing, because we don't impose on this island. What we need to do is, if you don't agree with something, provide an alternative. And that's the way forward. Let's start to get back to that. Let's hope that the press do as they've got to do and report responsibly. I'll never get it. I've given up on getting a balanced view on some of the things that come forward. And I think that's not being rude to others in the media, because I still think they've got a job to do, and they do it from another direction. But it doesn't help our island. We have thought more off island than we are on island. I'll tell you that. I've taken a post in the local government association on the board, the local government association board for culture, tourism and sport. One of nine boards between 373 local authorities. That includes the shires, that includes the unitaries, that includes the metropolitan councils throughout the land. This is England and Wales. Now, I'm one of nine, and I've also been put on the executive committee. I dare say that someone's going to run a story saying, look how much more money he's getting. Has he got focus on the Isle of Wight? Is he going to cause the Isle of Wight grief because he's taken that position, etc., etc.? And what I'm going to say to them, and if I can, and this is the first time I've spoken about it in public, because I get on and I don't puff my chest out, but someone realised that perhaps Ian Stevens wasn't doing a bad job, and perhaps the island independent administration was doing a better job than before. They've suddenly realised the Isle of Wight is going somewhere, and so I've been offered that. I didn't put in for it. It was offered to me. Now, all I'm going to say is that if I've got a national stage to talk about and drive things forward at a board level, don't you think I'm going to bring in the Isle of Wight, and don't you think I'm going to talk on the Isle of Wight? I'm Isle of Wight through and through, like you are, Ian.
Sure. No, absolutely. It's good to hear. I mean, I say, I don't want to sit here and slaughter the island's media, because they're not all like it.
No, they're not.
And the fact is, what they don't realise is that sometimes the damage they do by pouring cold water on everything and trying to trip people up all of the time, it's preventing the Isle of Wight from fixing itself, and it's preventing certain members of the public like yourself from doing their job 100% focused on what they should be doing, rather than taking time out to solve stupid little arguments and so on and so forth. I think it's high time we all grew up and we all chipped in, we rolled our sleeves up and started working together. Yes, you have to get the news out there, and if somebody does a bad job, yes, you've got to highlight that. But, you know, what I've seen in the last 7 days is embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. People's private lives are out there for whatever reason, and for what? It's just to get a little bit higher on the media scale, if that is the case. Well, I bet you that the majority of people that are reading this stuff are probably, they're reading the top line and not bothering with the rest of it. They're not that interested. They're probably thoroughly decent people that want better from their journalists.
I think that's right, and I think the sad thing about it is that viewers and listeners, sometimes the only way that some people read the situation to up their number is to be controversial. But some people want the good things. Some people want a lift during the day. Some people want to feel a little bit better about life when things are crashing around them at home and, you know, at work. They want to get a little bit of a lift in their life, and I think that sometimes we tend to neglect that side of things. And my way forward is, as I said to you, I'm positive. I'm positive with what we're doing in council. I'm positive with what I'm doing off island, and indeed what has been noticed off island. You know, I didn't put in for a national board, but I've got one. Now people are saying, well, should you be doing it? Well, yes, I'm going to do it. I'll work 7 days a week, nearly 24/7. I'll do what I've got to do to make this island a better place for everyone.
Great quote, and we're almost finished. I just got to ask you. I know we've gone past 12:30, but let's end on another positive. You know, the last 12 months or so, or 12 months ago, we were having Ofsted report from schools that were, you know, that were dreadful and getting worse. But now it's on the turn. Things are happening, and it's a lot more positive. Do you see in the next 12 months that we shall continue to rise up?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we've got a difficult job. We've got to look at things. We've got to look at how we're spending money. We've got to make sure that when we're considering things, we've got the full facts and the full figures. We've got to make every penny count. But and to that point, can I just add that, you know, we know that we're putting £2.5 million extra into children's social care. But when we came in, there were 900 files not opened on children's cases, you know, concerned about children's welfare. We've actually cleared that. Well, we haven't. The officers have. We brought officers back in, local officers, when we arrived, we had more people who were coming in from agencies working from away. We've now got the bulk of our workers are island based. We're moving forward positively, and all I'll say is that, you know, we've got to keep an eye on what we're spending out. The main thing is that, yes, we want results, but we want to know how much we're spending to get those results, because we've got to get value for money. Thank you.
When you look back at the last 12 months, what's the thing that stands out for you most of all on what you've achieved?
What I'm always going to say is children's social care. Every child on this island deserves to be safe. And if we can actually get down those 900 unopened cases that we inherited, to get that down and to get those all checked to make sure that our children are in a better place, that's the biggie for me.
Okay, and what about the next 12 months? What's the one thing that you think, right, okay, in 12 months' time, I'd like to achieve that?
I'd like to achieve more inward investment, employment for others on this island, old and young. And we've once again, as you know, put forward apprenticeships and over 50 entrepreneur schemes, etc. We've put £150,000 in. I want the LEP to put £150,000 in. I want to see what Andrew Turner, I've noted Andrew Turner mentioned that he was dealing with apprenticeships, but I want to see what he's bringing in from central government towards it as well.
Okay. Fabulous. Thanks for your time, Ian. I really appreciate it. You can go off to the next meeting now.
Thanks. It's always good to pop in and actually talk to someone who wants to report in a sensible and upbeat way. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's 23 minutes away from one. We'll take a quick break. We come back.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
Whitesight, here's how it works. You need glasses? Visit an optician, then bring your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ryde. Whitesight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses, stockists of Dior, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Ban and many more. They are an independent retailer, so you can shop locally for first-class service and great glasses. You'll be spoilt for choice. Either visit them in Cross Street Ryde or check out www.whitesight.co.uk.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Value Rent-A-Car, based in Sandown on the Isle of Wight. It's a secure online car hire booking service. We provide a low-cost, fully inclusive professional car hire and minibus hire service. We have cars available for rental from under £21 a day if booked and paid for in advance. We take no payments online. Our vehicle rentals are based on a full 24-hour period. Collect at 11 a.m, return by 11 a.m. the next day. Go to www.value-rentacar.co.uk or phone 01983 401 333. That's 01983 401 333.
Come and join the hunt to find Goldie the solid gold jewel red squirrel. Go to islandtreasure.co.uk and join in this fabulous family fun with loads of prizes. Win a time travel versal coin every time you find a treasure chest. Go to islandtreasure.co.uk right now and go for the gold.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call Westwhite Audio for expert friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
WayForward is an island-based charity. We have been supporting people with disabilities, autism or mental health conditions for the past 28 years. We provide services 7 days a week. Our programme is tailored around the individual, offering a wide range of activities or specialised one-to-one support. Being part of WayForward can be a life-changing experience. It provides opportunities to try new things, make new friends while building confidence and self-esteem. If you would like to find out more about us or how you could help support us with fundraising or future events, please call 01983 52 3000 or visit www.wayforwardprogramme.co.uk.
While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous, friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
This is Vectis Radio. Contact us on Skype at vectis.radio.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Go to www.whitefibre.com.
Okay, if you want to give us a call, you can. It's 01983 240666. We've just had the council leader, Ian Stevens, in for the last half an hour or so. He's running late for his next meeting, which is he was late for us anyway, by a minute. But what's your thoughts on the last half an hour?
I always like listening to Ian. I think he speaks a lot of common sense. And my big feeling was, actually, he just wants everyone to sort it out and work together. He's not holding any grudges. You know, he actually sees the island trying to do the best for the island he can.
Mm.
But no one, man is an island on their own, are they?
No, and obviously there has been some kind of disagreement that's gone on behind closed doors, whatever. And the unfortunate thing is, it's going to be similar to England and Scotland in a minute breaking up. It's going to be similar to when you broke up with your husband, when I broke up with my wife. All of a sudden, somebody will tell you don't do anything rash. Don't do anything. But unfortunately, in the last 7 days, this has escalated and become a personal thing out there in various medias.
But you know what? I don't think it's as bad as a divorce. I think it's more, when you have a family argument and everyone like goes off to their, I'm not speaking yet. And I think quite possibly what holds these people, I like Richard very much, I like John Gilby very much, and I like Ian very much. I think they're all working for us.
Yeah.
And I think actually they'll put all the differences aside and carry on. I bet you.
I hope so, because I think that, all three of them we've actually spoken to in the last 7 days, none of them have actually slated each other.
They're not buying into that, and all power to them for that,
Absolutely.
That's what we want, people with a bit of integrity.
Definitely. Now, what do you think, Josh? Because, you're 18, you're clearing off in a minute, but, that was your you're going to Portsmouth, aren't you?
So Southampton. Yeah.
Is there? do you feel like meeting the council leader and so on and so forth? Do you think that you feel like it's in safe hands?
I feel like he does for the island. Like, he doesn't do it just because he has to. He's doing it for the benefit of the island.
Okay.
And he's a really nice guy.
And you're not just saying that?
No, I mean that.
Okay, all right. Well, let's the phone's ringing. Let's take a call. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. All right, it's Jay again.
Hello, Jay. How you doing?
Yeah, all right. I kind of feel for Ian in a way. He's a nice guy. But twice there, Ian alluded to being dictated to by central gov. One was for housing policy, and the other for the diminishing budget from central gov. Now, someone somewhere within the council needs to get their maths caps on and start getting a bit of backbone towards central gov, because the societal debt that we've got cannot be paid. It just cannot be paid. We don't have the growth to continue the way we're going. Therefore, the debt can't be paid. So someone needs to get some backbone and stop capitulating to the cuts from central gov. And on the housing policy, the same again, stop capitulating to the diktat, we need reasonable policies that we can implement ourselves that are for the common good, as opposed to just selling off block land for developers to make a fortune. And I already put forward something regarding this to the council. I don't know if you might remember, if I jog your memory. Remember, I said to you about the council freeing up land and creating more small holding type thing, so that would create jobs along with it. I don't know if you remember that.
Was that during Steve Bynum's time?
No, not God. That was a long time ago now, it seems, eh? No, I think... I can't remember who he had on. But I've already approached the council about this in terms of freeing up council land, okay? And then, instead of going down the corporate route of, selling off the land to developers, sort of do a trade with a group, so a group of folk that want housing, and then they apply for self-build grants. The council hand over the land, the group self-build. They've also got maybe an acre or so within there, and they've got space for development of small holdings and that. Therefore, that'll give them jobs as well. After that, the council takes some rent for the land. So they're not losing any money in giving away land, because they're not. They're taking a slow drip process rental from it instead of selling it in one block to developers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is this something? Because is this something that's in the news at the moment with Louisa Hilliard? Is it similar?
I have no idea, because I put so much forward regarding the food growing initiatives way back when that I lost interest. We actually got to the final stages of a 1.2 million grant to set up an alternative growing school, if you like, educational hub on the island. And I won't name names or say anything, but we got severely let down because our company, it was deemed from the big lottery funding that we were too young in economic terms to handle such vast amount of money. So we needed a leader to lead the bid, and we got let down badly on that. And that would have created jobs, and it would have brought attention to the island for its educational purposes as well.
Well, this was news last week, Jay. A new project enabling
people... Oh, I know all about
people,
it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know all about it. It's an initiative. It's a step in the right direction. We need leaps. I mean, this really needs to be on the council agenda. What we do is we're so busy trudging on with everyday stuff that we're not having the insight and the foresight of what we're going to need in the future. And implementing some basic policy around the housing as well, so you're catching that in too, you know. We need a lot of it, a hell of a lot of it. I agree that we don't want mass developments of 500 block houses here, you know, nice, sporadic, all throughout the island. And also, you're given a resilient backbone to food production as well that we're going to need in the future. Yeah, I know about Louisa's initiative, yeah, and I know all about it. I mean, I would do.
How do you feel about it? Do you think it's obviously we're talking peppercorn rent for 25 years. It's it's giving people a chance to grow food. This fits in with what you were saying. So, I mean, how much of it is your idea? Or how much of it fits in with your idea?
Bits of it. I mean, any growing initiative or anywhere in Outback. But for instance, the council, they're not understanding, because they don't understand energy. If the council, for talking sake, planted, and I'm not kidding here, just bear with me briefly, planted apple trees and hazelnut trees all around the road verges, everywhere, all around the island, okay? That's there as more or less a permanent fixture. And what you do, you go around and you harvest from them, and you create ethanol fuels and biofuels from them. And they're there every year, they're perennial. And that you're talking hundreds and hundreds of miles worth of road here. Now, they can't necessarily do that because the PFI have overtaken with a lot of the jurisdiction on stuff. But big bullets have been shot in big feats here, you know. They really have. There's so much that could be done. It's just an abomination that we have food banks. What are we talking about here? The food bank, we're standing on it, you know. It's called the land. Why should anyone go hungry?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Because they haven't got a couple of quid.
It's a good point. When I went to Corfu back in the summer, everywhere you looked, there was olive trees.
Mm. Yeah, big thing over there.
And it's massive.
In South Africa, harvesting fuel from apple trees is a big, big industry. And the thing is, you've got a minimum... you've got minimal input to extract it, because growing ethanol fuel, in other ways, you have to plow the land and, you know, constantly tending it and then harvesting and blah, blah. With this, you're just basically picking from trees.
Hey, we're...
And there's jobs in that.
Which is good. But we're looking at ourselves and sort of say, how do you harvest energy from, was it apple trees you said?
Well, in the apple, everything, you know, when you know sunflower oil that you cook with?
Yeah.
That's energy. You know, you just, all they do is they crush the seeds and extract the oil. That's oil. It isn't as highly combustible and highly energy dense as crude oil.
Just
but
burn
it's
it.
Oil and energy nonetheless. You can run a diesel car on pressed sunflower oil.
Mm. Some people do.
It's energy. But it's this basic illiteracy, and I don't mean that in a detrimental sense, because it's raw all throughout society. We are energy illiterate, and this needs to get on the curriculum at schools as well. We need to be energy literate, ecologically literate, and only then can we become economically literate, you know? I've tried to express this, and I've put it in benign sense. I've put forward in different plans. I've put forward anti-flooding and water capture plans, and nothing. Some of my emails haven't even been returned. So I basically, you know, I just got quite fed up with it, really, in the end. But capturing water, you retain and stop so much of the surface water runoff that Ian was talking about. Harness that energy. There's energy from that as well. I mean, the trick is to capture and store as much energy from the sun and gravity as we can, you know, and it's there. It's a permanent fixture, you know. You're not hassling with big energy firms on fluctuating prices and this and that. You've got it. It's there. It's internal. And the island would be ideal to do it. And I'm not coming from a sort of green left wing sense there. It's just basic common sense. Why wouldn't you want control and ownership of your own energy?
Jay, do you know what? In the last couple of minutes, I don't pretend to be as intelligent as you, but you've made...
Ian, keep saying that. I'm not intelligent, okay? I'm really not. I'm of average intelligence. All the difference is I bother to look at things. That's all.
Well, it's almost like you must have heard it. The penny kind of dropped in the studio for all of us. What I will say to you is, next time you've got some plans, or you've got some plans now, let's you and me march up the road to the council and see what they say.
I've been there. I've stood in County Hall. I've done it when Pew was there. I've had meetings with oh, yeah, I know. Whatever. I know. It was worth it just to see the blood drain from his face. Now, I've had all sorts of meetings with all sorts of people, and I'm going to say to you what other people can't to you. I had conversations with people regarding certain things, and I was told to my face that the council do not hold any power. The officers hold the power. Now, that's a farce. That's a democratic farce. And I know, what the person that told me that didn't know is that I know the council actually do have the power, but they have to understand and recognise the law. There's a lot, it's just ignorance. That's all it is. But the parish councils and local councils have some of the most ultimate power in our entire constitution that isn't written, but they do.
They've just got a constitution.
Do you know what? Honestly, I think we should go over there together, and you know, open the door and say, "There you go. There's a plan. This time you've got to listen. All right, you've got to listen."
They need a cohesive understanding. I was buzzing when the independents got voted in, because I thought, right, okay. I mean, I'm not naive enough to think, oh, individuals within that you know, collective banner aren't going to have certain political sways or traits. Not the point, but by being under this you know, sort of united front, they would have the versatility and diversity to take on common sense policies. Unfortunately, with that, it does mean having a bit of backbone. And if you've got to say no to central government, damn it, say no. Say no. The reason you can say no is because you've done your homework, and it gets taken out of the realms of debate and you're into the realms of physics. You know, and you're saying, well, look, X and Y don't add up here. So why are we going to impose that if it's not going to benefit us in the long run?
Yeah, makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Thanks for phoning.
For overtaking.
That's all right. No problem at all.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Jay.
Cheers, Ian.
Cheers now. That's Jay, and he's obviously on the Yes campaign for the Scottish tomorrow as well.
Yeah,
and he never mentioned that at all, which is he should have got a plug in, didn't he?
But you know, he's got a point, really. If we could grow much more of our own food and be energy self-sufficient using solar, wind, wave, whatever, how amazing would that be?
I've always said that, you know, we're an island surrounded by water, so why don't we use it for power?
Yeah. Seems mad.
It makes sense.
We've got solar panels on our roof, you know, doing our little bit.
There's quite a bit of solar panels. I've obviously got to be pointing in the right direction, but there's a lot of them in Newport. There's even a place, Blackwater. There's a whole field
there's
of them.
There's a farm, a solar farm.
Oh, good on them. It's massive. I think that's the way to go.
We wouldn't actually need that many solar farms to power the island. How mad is that?
Maybe we should look into it, or at least someone should. And
I would much rather
answers.
We did it than the big energy companies, because you know what they'll do. They'll just charge an absolute fortune.
Yeah, they'll add on their
like
bit.
Look,
we got to go. Before we go, I've got an ode.
An ode?
An ode or two. Vectis Radio had a works night out, and Macca was getting them in. Humpty said, I'll have a pint of lager, Shirley had a treble gin. Later on, Marco got up and to buy a round, but Shirley Steed nipped up front with money, some money she had found. When the drinks were taken back, Macca said, what's this? I've had some dodgy lager before, but this tastes just like Guinness. I'm slow swarry, Shirley stammered. I didn't have many pounds. Slow get a pint of Beck's, cos I get around. A pint of Beck's, Macca spluttered, no wonder it tastes so shady. Just then, he turned to see Beck's coming out of the ladies. Oi, Beck's, Macca demanded. Have hissed in my beer. No such luck, it's you applied. It's weaker than in here. Brilliant.
That's good.
Is that like Arthur, John?
That's Arthur.
Thanks, Arthur.
The poet who didn't know it.
Yeah.
But he does now.
He's very good.
Hey, look, I know this is the last time you're going to be on the show for a while.
Yeah.
Because you're moving to Southampton.
I am.
And your mum's going to be so upset when
she is, and happy, though.
And happy, yeah.
No, but speaking as a mum, it's roots and wings, you know.
You're
kind of sad they're leaving, but glad they're going, if that makes sense. Because it's a new era for Josh.
Absolutely. Mm. And it's a new era for us next week, because you're going to join us via Skype.
Hopefully, yeah.
At some point during the show.
It's not going to be the same.
It's not going to be the
same.
He's
like my radio son, you know.
I'll have to put the screen round so you can see him.
Yeah.
We'll have to get a camera in this, because we haven't got one yet. We'll have to buy one, all
no,
right?
No, we don't want one. No. I'll have to shave my face.
Put it up there or something.
Yeah. Thanks to our guest, Ian Stevens, who was in earlier on. Thanks to you, Bex.
Pleasure. Yep.
Tell us about the show tomorrow.
Well, I'm doing it on my own because Claire's not here tomorrow. So it's going to be a gentle afternoon of chat and music. And we're going to hopefully have a good look at what's going on in Scotland as well. So keep people updated about that.
Well, they reckon you'll know the answer by 7 o'clock Friday morning.
Wow.
Because there's only 4.5 million people that have voted. I reckon 97% of the population can vote and have registered, so it won't take that long. So 7 o'clock you'll be going to bed as Great Britain, and possibly waking up the next day with a bit missing.
I know how that feels.